Y'all may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to be confident in this. That we will see the presence of the Lord, the love of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We would like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized.
Amen.
Amen. For the rest of this month, you're going to be hearing some other voices, and this morning you're going to be hearing from Brother Rick Reed, all the way from Orlando, Florida, by way of Jacksonville, Florida. Amen. Amen. I think this is a good time to hear what God is speaking to other individuals in the house of the Lord. I may be here, I may not be here, but every now and then I like to listen to see what God is also saying. You may have heard Lady Martin speaking to each and every one of you about making sure that you sow your seeds properly as we go forward. We had a nice talk on Thursday night regards to what we have to do, and we want to continue in that vein. And I may say some things at the end of service, but you have to determine whether or not you are a covenant partner of this church. That means that you sow your time, your effort, as well as your finances. If you're an attendee, in other words, you just give a little bit and you show up and then you kind of just do what you need to do. Or if you are basically a leader of this church. There's nothing wrong with whatever category that you're in. And we'll be passing out some forms at this at the end of service to those of you that need to find out what category that you're in, or if you want to move to a different category. If you're an attendee, we're not going to put any requirements on you, because one of the things that has been hurting our ministry is that we have been, how should I say, championing and catering to those that are really not dedicated to the ministry.
Amen.
That has been a problem. It's been a long-standing problem. And even with myself, I've been doing too much for others. I've been giving in the absence of others, and that will stop.
Amen.
Amen.
In other words, I want the church to be strong. You saw the difference today just with giving the announcements. The less I do, the stronger you all will become. And so when it comes to giving and sowing, everybody in here needs to give a minimum of 10%. If you have a job, if you make minimum wage, which is $7.25 an hour, $8.25 an hour here in Florida, that means that you make at least $300 a week. If you make $300 a week times four, that's at least $1,200 a month. Do not affiliate yourself with our church and only give $20 out that entire month. You are not helping us. Not helping us at all. You have to change that mindset completely around so that we can do what we need to do in the kingdom. And as far as your pastor is concerned, I cannot give in the place of your absence or in the place of your lack of being able to sow into this kingdom. If that makes you feel uncomfortable, then you may really want to reconsider whether or not you want to be a part of our ministry.
Amen.
We need people who are going to ride or live going forward. Amen. Ride or live. If I'm doing too much, that means that people are not doing their job. But I believe a lot of people can do their job, so I'm going to get out of the way.
Amen.
I'm going to get out of the way more. I'm going to do what I need to do and not, help too much. Amen. Which is actually making, sometimes even pastors can be enablers. Enablers of bad behavior, enablers of weakness. I don't want you to just come to the house of the Lord when things are just going crazy. I want you to support the house of the Lord when things are going well. We got to break that cycle. We got to break that pattern. Amen. I'll be a pastor, not just slave. And last time I checked, nobody follows slaves. Nobody does. So I want to lead the people. If you want to be led into the good things of God, then we're going to allow for that to happen. So before Brother Reed comes up, I want everybody in here to make sure that next Sunday that you invite somebody to this particular church. If you love us, if you love what we got going on here, you won't keep it a secret.
Amen.
That's the only way that we'll grow. There's power in numbers.
Amen.
I had a lot of people that could not be here today because of the weather, but they made sure that they let me know that they were going to sow a seed in their absence. Everybody in here needs to do that.
Amen.
We are online. If I could see you go to 400 different events on the weekend all throughout the week, that means that you are not broke. I think we got 99% employment rate inside of this church. So don't sell us short. Put God first. Put the ministry first. Some people will get it, some people don't. But if you don't get that, then don't expect for the level of reciprocity to pour into your life when you're not pouring back. That's not going to happen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's raining outside, but We're in shelter, so that means that y'all are covered. Amen. Amen. So without further ado, I appreciate you, Brother Rick Reed. I told I got some horses in the congregation, so I'm going to ride these horses while I rest. Amen. Amen. Thank y'all, singers, so much. God bless you. Now introducing Brother Rick Reed.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Martin. I appreciate just the opportunity to, you know, walk in the gift that God gave me. I didn't always think I would be up here speaking in front of people. You know, I was a musician first, you know what I mean? I always, you know, that's what I felt that my calling was. I was too flashy, too cool. I don't want to preach. I don't want to stand in front of people, but God said otherwise, you know? So I had to make up my mind. Either I was going to walk in his calling on my life, or I was going to try to do it my way. Thank God I chose it, you know, to honor God in what I do. And I'm standing up here today, so... let's get into it. Let's first just have a word of prayer. Lord God, we just thank you for just allowing us to hear your word, Father God. We just pray that your word will permeate our hearts, our minds, Father God, that it will overflow into our lives, Father. And that when it overflows into our lives, that it will overflow into our neighbors, Father God, and that they will be strengthened and encouraged and pushed forward by the word that you have set in us, Father God. We worship you, we praise you, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So our scripture that we're going to be reading out of will be from Matthew chapter 19. That will be verses 16 through 22. And that reads, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest me good? There is no one good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So the title of this morning's message is In the Fields. In the Fields. So we're going to take a look at the word emotion. Emotion is defined as a natural instinctive state of mind deriving from one's circumstances, mood, or relationships with others. Instinctive or intuitive feeling as distinguished from reasoning or knowledge. So it's safe to say that this young man had developed an emotional attachment to the things that he possessed, which is understandable because, you know, a lot of times we work hard for the things that we gain. But we should never let our emotional attachment in it to anything get in the way of God's call on our lives. So we're going to look at another instance here. We're going to go to Numbers chapter 20, and this is 1 through 12. You know what? We think we're going to go back to this right here. Now, we're going to go back to Matthew, and we're just going to, you know, just kind of dig in a little deeper into that. So, and behold, one man came and said unto him, Good master, what thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And watch, Jesus said unto him, Why callest me good? He kind of knew what was, you know, getting ready to happen. He kind of knew and read into that young man's spirit and kind of saw what he was getting ready to, you know, to say. And he said, There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Now, who's to say that maybe he did keep all of these things that he said that he did keep? But I think Jesus was kind of peering into him and saying that, you know, you're coming to me saying that you are worthy of the kingdom and that you don't have these faults. But he said, no, I'm peering into your soul and there is not one good but God. So though you may call yourself good because you feel that you are good, God has a standard, and most likely you have not kept that standard since the time you were a child. But hey, if you feel like you have kept all those standards and you feel like you are perfect and you want to walk into eternal life, he said, go and sell all of the possessions that you have and give it to the poor. But when he heard that, that made him sad and walk away. So it doesn't tell us whether or not he went and sold all of the stuff, but most likely he didn't go and do that because of that emotional attachment that he placed on the things that belonged to him instead of having an emotional attachment to the change that was about to take place in his life if he would have just followed God. So we want to just look into that. Now we can go to Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 12. And that starts off, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam, Moses' sister, died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. See, Miriam had like some type of anointing. She was a tender of the well. Anytime she pulled up water, it could be dry all around, but she would find some water somewhere for the congregation. So they depended on her for their water. But now she was dead, so they didn't have that anymore. So that's a little backstory in that. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord? And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our cattle should die here? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt and bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water for us to drink. Now you think back and look as far as what was going on in this time right here. God had just delivered them from Egypt because they were being held captive by cruel and cruel masters. They were beaten. They were murdered. Anything you can think of, they were in a terrible situation and God delivered them out of it. But they had somehow gotten comfortable in their own bondage. And even in the midst of God promising them things and going towards something that God promised them, they let their feelings get in the way. Instead of trusting God that he done brought them already out of all of this nonsense that they were in the first place. Now they're facing some hard times and now they're in the fields. And they jumping on Moses because he isn't providing for them what they feel that they need, when all they had to do was have faith in God in the first place, knowing that he got them out of the situation that they were already in. So we're going to keep it going here. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. Now this, God gave Moses specific instructions. Now he had done this a time before where God told him to take his staff and strike the rock, and the rock would bring forth water. And he did exactly what he said. He took the rod, he struck the rock, and the rock brought forth water, and the people drank from the water. But for some reason, in Moses' frustration and his feeling and his predicament, this is what happened. Moses took the rod before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, listen, he said, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So we go back into this. Instead of Moses following what God had told him to do, God gave him specific instructions. He said, speak to the rock. Don't strike the rock like I told you to do the first time. I'm going to do a new thing. He said, speak to the rock, and the rock will bring forth water for the people to drink and for the animals to drink. But in the middle of Moses's frustration, this is what I gather from it, is frustration. I'm taking care of all these people. We've gone through all this. God has delivered him from the hand of our enemies, of our oppressors. We're traveling in this place. We were supposed to only be here for a little while, but these people, they've already seen the miracles that he's done. He's already given them water out of the rock before. Why are they complaining? Complaining to God, complaining to me after we've brought them through so much. But see, Moses right here got a little full of himself because he didn't honor the Lord. That's why he said, that's why God said to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Moses got a little pride in him. And instead of asking them, do they want God to bring forth this water? He said, must we fetch water out of this rock? Will God have to smoke the water out of this rock again? He said, must we come over here and hit this rock and perform this miracle for y'all? So he kind of took his eyes off God because of the emotions that he had towards his situation at the time. He let his feelings get the best of him for a split second, and you see how much it cost him. Because he lost that control, he said that God told him that, you know, the promised land that was promised to his people, he would not be able to see it. But if he had listened to what God said, this story probably would have been a whole lot different. But instead, he listened to his emotions, and he let his emotions dictate his actions rather than the will that God has placed in his life. So we're going to look at another. It just makes me think of the parable of the 10 talents. It says, for the kingdom of heaven, this is Jesus talking to people and giving them parables, because a lot of times he gave parable stories to kind of give people an understanding of what he was trying to teach. And he said, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. To another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. So in other words, it's saying that God, this man had 3 people working for him. He gave 1 5 talents according to the potential that he had inside of him. He gave the other one 2 talents according to the potential that he saw inside of him. He gave the other 1 talent according to the potential that he saw from him. And then he left to make his rounds. All right. Then when he had received the 5 talents, he went and traded with the same. The one that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. In other words, this man that was given the 5 talents knew what he had, and he knew the responsibility that came with what he was given. And instead of being afraid and timid, he went out and worked that 5 talents, and he doubled that into 10 talents. All right. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. So he went out, worked, and doubled that another two. So he had four talents. But he that had one, that had received one, went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So in other words, he got this one talent. But his emotions said that I'm not able to do anything with this. I'm not equipped enough to move forward with this. Even though he has been given, you know, according to his potential, he doesn't realize that he had that potential. His emotions and his thoughts on his situation told him, I'm not able to do it. So instead of going out and doubling what he had, he just hid it, buried it under the ground. So we look here. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and he reckoned with them. And so he that received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. So when you look at that, God will bless you with something and it'll seem so great to you. But in his eyes, this is just something small compared to what I have for you if you continue to follow me. Amen. But you can't be timid and hide what I gave you. Somebody needs what I gave you. Yes, amen. All right. And then he also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside him. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. But then when he that received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not straw. Now notice the difference in the way that he approached his master, other than the way that the other two approached him. They came to him and say, hey, I got what you got and I doubled it here. But the way that he came to them, to the master, was with excuses. See, I knew that what you had gave me, you know, it was a good thing and I didn't want to mess it up for you. So what I did was I took it and hid it. You know, so nobody would take it away from me. Nobody could do anything. I was just, you know, just scared. I just wanted to do that. You know, here's your one talent back. All right. And it says, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast thou that is thine. In other words, this is what was yours. This is what you gave me. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming should I have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance, and he shall have abundance. I'm sorry. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath, and cast into the cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what that says to me is that your emotions can get you into a situation that you do not want to be in. It's like I said, I said this last week, your emotion was meant to be a tool for you to use to guide you through life, to keep you from certain dangers. But your emotions were not meant to control your actions. So we see a difference in three different people where God is giving you something that's on the inside of you. Each and every person in this room has something that God has given on the inside of them. So you consider that your talents. We're not talking about singing or dancing or whatever. We're not talking about that kind of talent. He's talking about something that you can pour out into other people. Amen. That you can bring more into the kingdom. Yes. You want to stop oppression and you want to stop things from going wrong in your neighborhood. He's put inside of you what it takes to make that right. So if you want to fight for the people, look inside yourself and stop worrying about other people doing it for you. That's what he's saying. But a lot of times we let our outlook on our situation override what God said to us. Because we feel fearful of failure, fearful of what might happen, and we're fearful that someone may not receive what I have to offer. But that's not what he told you to do. He didn't tell you to hide your light. Amen. If you're walking in darkness, why would you put your light under a cover? No, when you're walking in darkness, you make that light shine brighter so that people around you will see that light and gather unto you, and they will create more light. Now, and all of a sudden, you lighten up the entire scenery. But your emotions, you can't let them get the best of you like these individuals did. And we see multiple times in scripture people acting on their emotions, like when I think about Jonah. And when God spoke to him and told him to go to Nineveh and preach to these people. But Jonah and his emotions and knowing what this people, and he had probably had, you know, a good reason for not wanting to go out. He knows how these people are. He knows what is capable of happening. But he's like, I don't want to do that. My emotions are telling me that I need to do something otherwise. So he ran from God and ran from what he told him to do. And like I said, anytime you act solely on your emotions and how you feel, majority of the time it will lead you to a place that you don't want to be. Now he's stuck on a ship that's in the middle of the ocean and storm raging around just because he didn't follow the voice of God. So where he could have been in a place in the will of God, reaching people and changing lives, now he's stuck in a place where the people are looking at him and saying, we about to throw you overboard because you done made your God mad because you didn't do what he told you to do. And it's crazy because those people didn't even serve God. But they still realize the power of God over his life. So just because you don't share it, there's still something different about you that people see in you. There's something different. There's something about the way you smile, the way you laugh, the way that you talk, the way that you carry yourself. And they're going to realize there's just something about you and the God that you serve on the inside of you. So you need to listen to God's voice. Amen. Or you'll end up on that ship yourself. Amen. Being tossed overboard. And then it didn't even stop there because he didn't follow the will of God. It said God prepared a large fish. And people try to argue that, say it was a whale and it wasn't a whale. It wasn't. It didn't have to be a whale. A whale's throat is not big enough to handle a person. Said God prepared a large fish and it swallowed him and took him even lower than where he was in the first place. So we see that because he ran from God's voice and he let his emotions determine what his actions were going to be instead of remembering what God has already spoken to him. It took him lower and lower and lower to a point where he's like, what in the world am I into right now? Because I sure can't get myself out. But he repented. And God said that I'm going to restore you. And the fish spit him out of his mouth onto dry land. And he knew right then and there it was time to go do what God told me to do. Because I'm in a low place right now. And I shouldn't have been here in the first place. And like the same thing with, I think, a King David. Because he was a great king. I mean, this is the dude that killed Goliath as a small child. But he let his emotions get the best of him when he saw Bathsheba. And he saw a beautiful woman and whatever. He made the decision to take this woman's husband and send him to the front line to get killed so that he could take his wife. Because his emotions got the best of him and he didn't think clearly. You might not want to do that. This ain't pleasing to God. So I just have a question to ask. How many times have we ourselves, just think amongst yourselves, how many times have I falling short of something that God had for me because I wanted to follow my emotions. I wanted to follow what I felt at the moment instead of following what I know God has already told me. God told me to go left, and I chose that I wanted to go right because that's just not the way that I feel that it should be. We tend to miss out on what God has for us because we're too busy focusing on our emotions and the way that we feel about things. Well, God said, don't do that. Come out of that. We tend to get fearful and worry about what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. But God said, I've already taken care of that. So why are you worrying about it? It says Matthew chapter 6, verses 27 through 33. It says, which of you by which of you by thinking can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, which of you can just think and add an inch to your height? And why take ye thought for raiment or clothing? Why worrying about what you're going to wear? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. So unbelievers, those, if you're in God, know that he has taken care of all your needs. Amen. Those that are outside of God need worry about those things. But he said, if he's your father, he's going to take care of you. So why are you worrying about these things? Stop acting on your feelings and trust God for what he already said. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I know somebody may be facing a situation that's really heavy. And your emotions are boggling you down right now. Because you don't know which way to turn. You don't know which way to go. But God is telling you to move forward and make some steps. Or talk to this person. Or minister to this person. But your mind is telling you, no, I can't do it. I'm too broken. I'm too weak. I'm too this. I'm too that. But he is already giving you what you need to make sure that his word does not return to him void. So instead of listening to the voices that are inside of you telling that you can't do it, go to his word and realize all the promises that he's already given you. You are more than a conqueror. You are a champion. You are not defeated. All right? I'm reminded of Jesus being taken into the wilderness. I know the last time I spoke on this as well. But after a time of teaching and healing people, Jesus went to the wilderness to be tempted. And fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, his body was weak. I could understand that he felt some type of way. But the devil came and started tempting him and said, hey, if you will worship me, turn these rocks into bread, or, you know, jump off this cliff and let the angels catch you. Now, Jesus could have acted on what he was feeling at the moment because he was in a weakened state. He was in a very vulnerable position. But instead of him acting on the weakness and the things that he was feeling at the moment, he said, you will not tempt me, Satan. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So what that tells me, yes, we know that our body is in need of certain things. And I know we feel certain things. Sometimes we feel weak, like I did not want to get out of bed this morning. I felt terrible. But I know that the people needed a word. So it was not according to the way that I felt. But I need to share with the people according to what he gave me instead of saying, hey, I don't feel good, so I'm just going to call out and say, hey, I can't make it, guys. No. That's not it. He gave it to us so that we can give it to other people. Amen. So, man, in closing, I'm always short and sweet. Don't allow yourself to stay in wilderness and run, just circling around something that you was supposed to gain in a short amount of time because you continue to listen to your emotions and let your emotions control your actions over and over and over again. Get into the Word of God and read what He says about the situation. That way, when you're faced with that situation, instead of enacting on your emotions and how you feel at the moment, you will act on what God said. And you will realize that you will be what God has called you to be. And then the way that you feel on the next time won't influence you as much the next time because you'll see, He brought me out from this already. And I felt worse that time. So I just want to encourage y'all. Your feelings, like I said, are a tool to get you to where you need to be. But don't let your feelings get in the way and override the word that God has placed on the inside of you. Listen to that first and foremost. Everything else He's taken care of. So don't let fear stand in the way. Don't let when you're sad and depressed stand in the way. Don't even let when you're in the mood of happiness, when you're content and everything is going good. A lot of people like to just push God to the side because I'm feeling good. I don't really need all that right now. But you still need Him in that moment when you need Him. The same that you need Him when you're going through something and you're calling out to Him. He's the God of the rain as well as the God of the sunshine. So we can't be fair weather friends to God. Don't let your emotions control who you are in Christ. He already told you who you are in Him. I mean, that's all I had to say today, man. That's short and sweet. But Father, praise. Father God, we just thank You for, Lord, the word that You've given. We just pray that, Lord, this word will go forth, Father God, and multiply in people's lives, Father God. We will take this with us. And that it will follow us where we go. And that it will influence those around us. That You will get the glory and that Your kingdom will be built, Father God. We thank You, we worship You, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That was a word from heaven. How do I know that? Because this morning as I was meditating, I got a chance to stay in the bed 30 extra minutes. I was like, ooh, Lord, this is like heaven. This is what it's like for y'all sometimes on Sunday morning. Oh, I see why sometimes you don't want to get out of bed. But as I was meditating this morning, you could be seated. It's all right. As I was meditating this morning, I was thinking about Moses, too, at Mount Nebo. And I believe that's where God has me at this moment in time. In regards to this ministry. And the truth of the matter is that as dynamic as God got us from out of the Winter Park situation and brought us to this particular land, we have some enemies that we got to fight. And I felt as if we started to get into a mode of circling in the wilderness. For the last year or so, we've been circling in the wilderness. And I was tempted to strike the rock. Quit, cut out. Say, forget it, I'll do something else. Or say, emotionally from the pulpit, you know how like sometimes when pastors get really emotional, they say all types of weird stuff in the pulpit, throwing shade, all the other crazy stuff, all right? We're not gonna do that. What I am going to do is, I'm going to continue to follow what God says. God wants our church to move forward in this community. God wants our church to take care of me so that I can one day say goodbye particular company in Orlando, and I want our strong church family to be able to take care of me going forward. Amen. To be able to take the care of the finances of this house, to be to enjoy bringing people and bringing other people who are lost sheep or those that need God to the house of the Lord. I believe that you all can do that, and I think that I've been doing your job for you too much. And so I don't want to strike the rock, because thank God for grace. If we were in the Old Testament, he would have killed me a long time ago, said, man, you are so important. You pay their tithe, you pay their offering, you always buzzing around, turning off the lights, doing this, outside, painting lines, all of you doing too much. Sit down, shut up, don't do nothing else. So thank you for that, Rick. Thank you so much for that, especially the part when it talks about the one talent, the two talents, and the five talents. That breaks up the congregation that we have. One talent is the attendees. They're going to come, but they're not going to contribute. They might do it every now and then if they're in a good mood. Then you have your members, which I believe that's the majority of this church. They got that too, and they're going to come back with four. And then you have the leaders, and I believe we have those as well, which is they're going to take all their talents, their skills, and abilities, and God is going to bless them tremendously. Tremendously. And the thing I love about it is that God gave them all the same opportunity. It is up to you what category that you're in. And it is up to me to recognize what category that you're in. If you don't give anything, then I'm going to take what you have. I'm going to give it to somebody else. But if you do what you need to do and you follow me as I follow Christ, that things will expand and it will grow. We're right on the edge of overflow, but God had to teach me a lesson that we have to, in order for things to grow, if things have to be in order, and it starts with the head.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing can grow if my hands are in too many things at the same time. I'll be dead. Hairline will be back to my ears by this time tomorrow. All different type of stuff, and then it'd be like, oh, he was a good man. He was a really sincere pastor. He helped a whole lot of people. But no, when it comes to our businesses, we're going to be professional in that, and God has placed some advisors in my life, Joachim, that's not going to let people just do any old, treat us any old kind of way. And we're going to expand upon that. We're going to expand upon what God is doing. So what you see around you is not the end of the story. You know why? Because you are going to go out and you're going to tell people of the goodness of the Lord, and you're going to let them know about the good church that you go to and not just keep it a secret. Amen. If you love me, then keep my commandments. If you love one another, then you let people know exactly what God is doing. So that's it. So I thank you for that, brother. I heard it as clear as day. I said, Mount Nebo. I'm on Mount Nebo, and Moses had a choice. Because God said, hey, look at what you could have had if you just would have kept on listening to me. So that was a comforting and disturbing warning that God gave me this morning. This is what you can have. You can have the vision, the businesses, all this other stuff, supplying the community. You can have all of that if you continue to do what I say and stop enabling the people to not do what they need to do. I'm not going to let you get out of giving what you need to do. I'm not going to let you get out of giving your tithe and your offering. When God blessed you with a promotion and now you want to give less.
Amen.
No, no, no. If you want to do that, you need to find a big church where your tithe and offering don't matter. But for here, we need exactly for you to do what God has called you to do. And just as Brother Rick was saying, you can't be in your feelings when you hear something like that. You have to be mature. And if you are in your feelings, then God has one... prophetess in the making that was here on Thursday night said God is replacing people. Amen. I don't want God to replace me. So I repent, Lord, from doing too much. I want to be a Joshua, not a Moses. Amen. Y'all get that? Y'all get that? You need to do what you need to do. So no, when you first get your seeds or whatever it is, you need to think about the ministry and think about God's house first, and then you do everything else versus, okay, this is all I have left over after I done blew it on George for a baby that I don't even know what day it is. Amen, lights. Amen, walls. You feel me? No. You need to stop trying to impress the people that are in the same situation, impoverished situation that you're in. They know that you ain't got nothing. So stop trying to impress people. You get them some Paw Patrol shoes. You get them a $5 outfit from Walmart. And you can take as many. And the babies be like, I don't know what designer. They'll poop in all designer clothing. They'll throw up in all designer clothing. And they'll tear up all designer toys. So you better save that money. And that's like my final segment. And then we're going to get out of here. So that means that starting early next year. I can't tell you when. Because I know y'all. We're going to be teaching on budgeting, finances, and how to sow properly in the kingdom of God. Amen. I got to at least see if there's a gap there, so you'll know exactly what you need to do. If you don't want to hear the $25 line, I need 10 people in here to get $250. If you don't want to hear none of that, and I'm not going to do that. But if you don't want us to kind of go down that line where we have to be hard like that, I want to equip you so that you can start budgeting properly. Amen. Amen. The preacher told me that people do exactly what they want to do. So we going to find out if y'all really love me and you love this ministry or not. We going to find out. Because if we don't do what we need to do, I'm going to talk to that man right there and say, hey, it's time for us to leave. We're going to do something else. My wife and I are going to go to X, Y, and Z place. And y'all can figure out what kind of church you want to go to. And go through that whole cycle of, I don't know where I'm going to go at. But we don't want to do that, do we? We want to take care of what God has given us here so that we can be a foremost authority in this entire city. Amen. Not just a nice place where you got a nice pastor to do everything for everybody. Amen. I ain't never seen a doormat be celebrated. Amen. Yolanda, you know what time it is? I think you might need to escort me out the building. All right. So Brother Rick has already prayed. There's nothing else that I have to say. I do want everybody to come next Sunday. We will be here and you're going to hear from none other than Elder Winsley. Yep. That's what it says. Yep. Elder Winsley. And we're going to have some other speakers as well. All right. That goes for everybody. All right. Everybody in here, you know what you can do and you know what God needs to do through you. All right. If you have a question, come see me. Come see me. And we're going to talk about, if we got to talk about, my wife revealed to me those two things. As a ministry, we got the faith down and we got the worship down. But that family and finances, we got to straighten out that part right there. Those are our weaknesses. Those are our weaknesses. We got to strengthen our families and we're putting in measures for that. But we got to strengthen our finances. We can't just, you know, just waste, be very wasteful, not in the economy that we have. All right? Nobody ain't broke down, busted, and disgusted. I don't see that. I don't see people just talk about, I'm so tired and weary. I don't see that with none of y'all. Hair did, face did, pics at the theme parks, birthday parties. Buy Jordans for the kids if you want to, but just put God first. That's all I'm saying. All right? Do what God has already told you to do. And I believe now God will increase us. Because if we kept on going on the same pattern, I would be dead if we had like 400 people in here because I would be trying to do everything for everybody. All right? I want y'all to be stronger. So no, you all will come up with this. Even among our congregation, we could raise up $2,000 if we want to. If we want to. Yes, don't look straight ahead. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to everybody in here. Everybody in here. Everybody in here. All right? You can do that. If you got DirecTV, you already blown $150. And you ain't cutting that off for nobody. I hear you, Pastor Martin. I hear all of that. That's fine. That's fine. But you need to manage your money properly. Put God first and then see what is going to happen. Don't put God last. All right. Okay. Y'all good? Everybody good? All hearts and minds, keep come on, stand to your feet. Say, Elder Winsley, you're going to have to holler next week so I can put you on YouTube. I want you to get, now, you know what we might need to do, Ryan? We might need to get one of those catwalk wires so he could come from out of the ceiling preaching. Come out like this. And God said, he got up and he just floated out. If pastors got to do that in order to get y'all closer to God, we're in a sad state of affairs. All right. But you got to holler at least one time. You got to say, hey, glory, one time at the very least. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you and we bless you. We thank you, Lord God, for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, Lord God, for the members and guests and attendees that are here this morning. I pray, Lord God, that they are obedient to your word and they see the value of this ministry, that they go from just attendees or just people who fly by night to those that are willing to invest in the kingdom beyond the minimum. We want maximum blessings for them in their life, Teach them a spirit of reciprocation. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen. Oh, also, the Snack Shack is open. It's raining outside. All right, so you might as well fellowship. All right, see how somebody's doing. Some of you haven't been here in a while. Sit around for a little while. Talk to somebody. Let somebody know that you are still alive and that you still love one another. All right? God bless you. God keep you. Now, I got one last question for you. How many in here are going to invite somebody to church next week?
Amen.
All right. Now, if you got a hard-headed family member, skip them. Stop trying to talk to them. Try somebody else. Try somebody else outside of that. Okay. Now, the family member will come. Cool. But try somebody outside of that. And guess what? If everybody in here does that, then we done packed out the whole place. Just one person, each one reach one. Let's do that more regularly, okay? I need everybody to do that on a regular basis. It's your responsibility to grow this church, okay? All right, I love y'all. Y'all consider yourself dismissed. Be blessed.